after some fine performances this year,
some really good innings.
JB and Billy have declared,
I'm finished and now I'm in the ground and I'm absolutely cooked.
So now we revisit the highlights.
Afternoon radio gets no better.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Today, Fat, we look back at when you decided to put together some craft.
Some of my finest work with this one, Jimmy boy. Plus, I've got some bin news for you from Bins Brownless.
I was going to say, some bin news from Bins Brownless.
Sorry,
also, I need to tell you about lunch at Rockpool.
But up next, we run for the list of 100 richest Aussie sports people.
Ow! This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. If you're missing JB and Billy, download the Lister app to hear them anywhere, anytime.
I feel good!
Triple M. Now, Fat.
Yes.
Australia's richest 100 sports stars.
I've been in the Herald Sun over the last week, Jimmy boy. Yes. And it starts at, say, Patrick Dangerfield on 950,000.
950, yep.
Yep. And it goes through, of course, at 92, Kale Aponga, who's a very good...
Kalen.
Kalen. I said that. Listen up, you blokes. Plays
like that.
Rugby league. That's it. Thank you,
Luke.
89, Riley McGee.
Thank you, who?
Riley McGree.
Yes.
Never heard of him, Jim. He's right. On $1 million. Well
he
done
just,
to him.
Signed. He's playing for a championship in England.
Soccer.
Yeah.
From Adelaide.
Yes.
A beautiful game. Yes.
82, James Duckworth, who plays tennis.
Right.
1.15 million. Not bad, that, Jim.
No, that's very good. Who else?
76.
Yes.
Daly Cherry Evans.
Yeah. Rugby league.
Exactly. He's played for 100 years.
He has played for 100 years. He's played State of Origin football for 48 years.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yes, man. Sure. 72, Jeremy McGovern on 1.25 million.
Jeepers.
He's well paid.
Huey Bowman.
Huey Bowman's there, Jim.
Yes, who else?
65, Melassimo Longa. He's a soccer player.
There's
for
no L in there, Fat.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Massimo Luongo.
That's him. You're not listening. He is. Something wrong with your hearing, Jim, is there?
You said Melassimo.
Yeah, Mitch.
There's no L in it.
What about 61? Mitch Wisnowski now. He plays the NFL. He's from Perth.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yes. All right, then we keep going, Jim.
Right, I keep going.
Raleigh Meredith. What about him at 1.7 million? Well done, him. Minji Lee, golf, 40th, $2.1 million.
Before we get quite there, Mick Fanning interests me.
50th?
And 1.8 bricks and doesn't even compete anymore. He's stopped. He's retired. Still making good money.
Retired in 2018.
Yeah, good. I love that.
Well, he's got some good blue chip sponsors.
Right.
Well done to him. Mingji Lee, a golf.
Quality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a brother, Minwoo Lee, is at 31.
Yes.
Paul Gallen at 33. He's made more money out of boxing than he
did. Rugby league.
Ever made out of rugby league.
I tell you what I do like. Every year he just fronts up Richie Porte. The cyclist, Jim. He's Australia's best and richest cyclist. And then we get down to the top 10, Jim. I'll quickly go to the 10, then I'll give you the 5.
Yes,
so Adam Scott, of course. Paddy Mills at 9. Josh Giddey.
Yes.
He's just come from nowhere.
That will increase.
Yes.
He'll get
so he earns more than Paddy Mills.
Mm. Well, Paddy Mills at 8.09 and Josh Giddey at 8.2.
Mm. A rookie contract.
Yeah. Cameron Smith, who we all love.
Gold just won in Hawaii.
And then the bloke at 6, Jim. And then,
who's that?
Well, that's Giordo.
Yeah, what's his
Giordo
name?
Giordo Malatta.
What?
He's a monster contract he signed for the Eagles, I think you'll find,
Eagles,
Jim.
Yes.
15 million. Now the top 5. Right, this is it. You ready? Now, at 5 is Liam Hendricks.
Yes, North Melbourne man.
I've never heard. He plays baseball.
Relief pitcher.
I think
for Oakland, I think, and now he's gone to Chicago.
Yes, but he's on $16.8 million.
Brilliant.
Good on you, Liam. Well done. Number 4,
Ashley Barty.
I think there's only about 6 women in the top 100, so well done to her.
Brilliant. Yes.
3 in the top 50, 6 in the top 100, if you read it, reps. Number 3 is Joe Ingles, who's gone down with a knee.
Injured himself, yes.
17 million.
Our man loves us.
Exactly. He's from Adelaide. They're just from all different country towns.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, Adelaide is not a country town.
Not a country town. It's a city.
Literally a city.
Have you been?
Yeah.
Yes.
We go into Adelaide.
No, we don't.
And they love us.
We go to Perth.
No, we go to Adelaide.
Go to Adelaide.
Good city.
Great city.
And we're a
magnificent
we
city.
We follow South Adelaide this year. We're on the Panthers bandwagon, Jim.
Well, you are.
I am. I'm getting over there, dude. Nolunga. Number two is Daniel Ricciardo.
Yes, please.
How much do you reckon he makes, Tim?
35 bricks.
Oh, thank you, Jim. You got the paper. And the highest paid, wealthiest Australian athlete is Ben Simmons.
Which you told us before.
Yeah, that shouldn't have done it. 45 million bricks, Jim.
Oh, no.
He might come back here and play.
I don't think so.
I doubt it. I don't reckon Hutchie can afford him over there in Perth.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You get worse every year.
How?
I know. We asked that same question.
I got a new segment, Jimmy Boy, to help with our phoner, because we're going to get him up very shortly in the Rush Hour family.
Family members.
And I've built an opener.
Oh, no.
Hello, passengers. This is Captain Brownless speaking.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. It's Billy's Mile High Club.
Oh, no.
Oh, Billy's Mile High Club.
Imagine
must join
the
that
size
one.
The toilet would need to be.
Oh, I was going to say. Yes.
It'd have to be a suite.
It'd have to be big,
Jim. The poor other person involved.
Oh, no, that
I'm
too.
I'm going to join it one day.
I doubt it.
Maybe Fiji.
Oh, yeah, I very much doubt it.
I don't think Joey wants that.
No.
Plenty going on in the air, Jimmy Boy.
Yes, go on.
So I'm going to read some stories here, and then I'll just hint you in a minute. Okay.
Right.
Sleeping pilots, Jim. A pair of Ethiopian airline pilots, Jim, fell asleep at the same time.
No.
Yes. This was flight ET343, Hose.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is out of the black box. This is the black box, Jim. So they were going from Sudan to Ethiopia.
Sudan, yes.
Or Sudan. The plane was cruising at 37,000 feet and missed the runway.
So you went into the booth with Maddie and recorded those noises.
Yeah. Well, this was from the black box,
right,
Jim.
Yeah.
So alarm went off
So what happened?
Well, the alarm went off because they missed the runway. They both got up, but then just had to circle around.
Right,
they landed, but fancy both of them falling asleep. Then we got punching pilots, Jim.
What?
Two Air France pilots have been suspended after boxing on with each other.
Punching on.
In the cockpit on a Geneva to Paris flight in June.
What the hell?
I got some audio of this.
Sacre bleu.
Cabin crew had to intervene, Jim.
That is actually embarrassing.
I thought you were going to say that's good.
No.
No, cabin crew intervened, Jim, and one cabin crew member had to sit in the cockpit with one of the pilots and the other pilot was out the back. They fair dinkum and punched on.
Punched on.
Yes.
Right.
And that in French, of course.
It's a black box recording.
Yeah, the black box recording would be Hosages a Watina.
Or
Enregistreur à boîte noire.
Not bad, Bill. Mm. A rowdy passenger, Jim, a rowdy traveller, was booted off a Jetstar flight to the applause from the entire cabin. After ugly war of words, she wanted to sit on the window seat and she made a big fuss. She carried on and everyone said, get out of here, piss off. And this is actually from the actual fight. This is true, Jim. They got rid of her.
It's actual audio.
Oh, my God.
Are we live?
Yes, we're live.
Oh, I was going to say what she said.
No.
And then one more. Passenger wouldn't stop sending nudes. You'll love this, Jim.
Ooh.
A pilot threatened to turn a Southwest Airlines flight to Cabo, Jim, around and end everyone's holiday before it began if they didn't stop sending nude photographs around via AirDrop.
Well, party town in Mexico.
Yeah.
So
Cabo.
Cabo.
But you know AirDrop.
Yes.
So some bloke or female, I'm
nudes
not sure.
Of themselves or?
Well, I'm not sure, but they were sending them and everyone was saying yes.
Yes,
and they were getting including the pilot.
All right.
And this is, again,
this is the pilot.
Yeah, this is the actual pilot, Jim.
So here's the deal. This continues while we're on the ground. I'm going to have to pull back to the gate. Everybody's going to have to get off. We're going to have to get security involved. And it's vacation that's going to be ruined. So you folks, whatever that AirDrop thing is, send a naked picture. Let's get yourself to Cabo.
So that actually was unlike the other three.
No.
That's actual audio.
Oh, no, the rowdy passenger audio was real.
Yeah. And the punching pilot.
Real.
Oh,
no,
of course, that was real.
That was real.
Yeah. I like that, Jim. Oh. Punching on.
No, Bill. So,
in the cockpit. Here, look.
Oh, no.
We.
Because that's what you're going to say when you're punching someone.
You know,
yes.
You know, that's Matt and Onion.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Well, I can't believe Matty Haywood has put his name to that.
Oh, yeah, he came up with
the genius from the booth.
Now, that is, I can't believe you're going up there to get the Acra Award when I'm putting together this.
Oh, no, I can't either. I actually can't either.
So, 133353, hence.
Hence!
When have you had sex on a plane?
No,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
Right, sorry.
No, no.
133353, hence.
Right, hence.
Hence.
What have you seen on a plane unusual?
A bill.
It's a bit boring.
No, no one's going to ring.
But no one will ring.
No one will ring.
Jim, stuff happens on planes.
No one will ring.
I bet you someone will ring up and say, snakes.
Oh, really?
You would.
I saw snakes on a plane. Yeah, the film Snakes on a Plane.
Jeez, you're all
Bill, no one's ringing.
Look, they're not ringing.
Well, hang on. It takes
a while. No.
Just wait here. Wait.
There's
I think
calling.
There's a 10-second delay.
Right.
Just, oh, here they come, the papa! Oh, we got one. Matt from Hobart.
What have you seen on a plane unusual?
Unusual.
Is that the
unusual
Bill,
things happen?
One person's rung.
Box or Billy from Berwick.
Oh, Bill's going to name them all.
Where's Peter?
Matt's already gone.
Matt's gone. Hamish is back. Here they come, Maxie and Peter. Oh, come to Papa.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That wouldn't have gone to air.
Bill, that was live to air.
No, no. Yes, Jim, and they were punching on. They were in the cockpit, and
yes,
they were punching on. They were going from Geneva to Paris, and here it is.
Sacre bleu, oui, merde,
batard.
You know who likes the noise effects?
Who?
Jack Crisp.
Nah, come on, Crisper.
He does.
You're better than that.
Crispy does.
You're better than that.
Good boy, Crispy.
Fiona joins us from Melbourne to start off the conversation. The question is?
When have you what? Seen on a plane unusual.
Oh, there we are.
That, huh?
That's the craft right there. Fee.
How you going?
Hey, Fee, did you understand that?
Yeah, kind of.
Right. What did you see?
I got on a plane to fly to Sydney for a meeting, and I sat down next to this elderly gentleman who was decked out in a fantastic three-piece suit and, you know, just looked stunning.
Yep.
And on the other side of him was this lass who was dressed up as a nurse, and apparently, I don't know, I found out later he'd been wheelchaired on. This person wasn't real. He was a dummy. And but he was so life-size. They ordered him a halal meal when they booked his ticket, apparently.
No.
Yeah. And he was going to Sydney to have lunch with the company that apparently he was representing because he was like the mascot or something. But he was so lifelike. I actually thought it was a real person. And then they wheeled him out of the seat and they took him into the cockpit for photos with the flight attendants and the pilots and everything. And it was just hysterical. The whole plane was in fit. Absolutely
dummy.
Outrageous.
Dummy taking up a seat.
And yeah, Fiona, more money than sense. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Fiona thought it was real.
Order a meal.
Cow-off-y.
Stay there, Fee. Haim, Strathmore.
He is. Hamish.
Hello, gang. How are we?
Good, mate. What have you seen unusual?
A dead body.
Oh,
really?
Where? How?
Yes. About a decade ago, flying back from overseas, poor guy got on in the seat behind my now wife and I, and... passed away over the oceans, unfortunately.
Bloody hell, isn't there a spot on the long-haul planes that they take
like
people?
A little morgue thing?
Is that,
yeah.
Is that true?
They did move it eventually. I didn't ask where they put the body.
Right.
So, no, but yes, he did get moved eventually.
Jeez, that's pretty full on.
Well, bloody oath, Jim.
And unusual. Well, stay there, Haim. Pete Frankston. Hello, Pete.
Would have taken his meal.
Pete!
Yes?
What have you seen unusual on a plane?
I was heading to Perth with my young son, and we had the back seats at the plane.
Yep.
And there was about four army blokes on there, pretty tanked before they got on, and just kept drinking. About 2 hours into the flight, one of them gets up with his hand over his mouth and he's running to the toilet.
Oh, no.
And I started giggling because there was someone in there, and he went into the back area and threw up over everything.
Oh,
and the poor steward that was working on the flight.
No.
Oh, Chris Mew. Chris Mew.
That's no good, Bill.
Not from our army boys. You'd think
people?
They'd be more responsible, Pete.
Yeah, but when we landed, the MPs were there waiting for him.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't take to that too kindly.
Exactly.
Fair enough, too.
Yes.
All right, stay there, Pete. Blake Somerville. Hello, Blake.
G'day, boys.
What have you seen on a plane unusual?
Well, a few years back, me and the missus were flying from Toronto to Vancouver, and we both saw a rocket fly past the plane.
A rocket?
Like a dead set rocket. Like, I would describe that to look like a missile.
Like surface-to-air missile?
What?
And you would think I was mad, but she saw it as well. And then we both looked up a picture. And when we both pulled up the picture of what we'd seen, it was basically the same thing.
And what was it? A rocket to achieve what?
I don't know.
A rocket to space?
I never heard anything else about it.
Oh, how many froffies had you had?
Oh, maybe a couple. Oh,
so he rings and he saw a rocket just fly past.
Beautiful place, Vancouver, by the way.
Yeah, but no rocket.
Well, good thing it didn't hit the plane, Bill. Oh, rocket. Otherwise, they were in all styles.
Well, it would have been a lot of trouble.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Blakey.
I think Blakey might have been at the US Open.
Glenn's in Langwarrinville.
Glenn!
Hey, boys, how you going?
What have you seen unusual on a plane?
Well, it was a weird one. I was heading down to Hobart, and cricket was on, and sitting opposite me was the great man, Glenn McGrath.
Glenn McGrath.
Did you speak to him?
No, I didn't. I gave him his privacy, but that night I went for a nice meal down in Salamanca, and heard this voice. I turned around, and I thought, geez, I know that bloke.
Yeah.
James Brayshaw, his old man and his son, were sitting at a table on the street near me.
Bloody hell. I remember that. Well, we were driving around Tassie, we got to Hobart at the same time the test match was on. Right. I reckon Australia lost that test, Glenn.
Yeah, probably, but we don't talk about that.
No. A whole lot of wickets fell late and we lost a test again. Yeah. It might have been in New Zealand, actually.
Was Jim nice, Glenn? Did you talk to him?
Yeah. No, I left him alone. Oh. You know, when you see celebrities, I like to let you guys have your peace and quiet and time to yourself.
Old Smacker was there.
Smacker.
And John Owen Henry, I remember that. Right. He had a great time. Yeah. He drove all the way around Tassie.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn McGrath is a celebrity.
Yeah, there's Matthew in Melbourne.
Hello, Matty.
Hi, Matthew.
Hey, guys. Team, how you doing?
Good. What do you got for us, Matty?
Well, my wife and I were travelling from Dubai to Cairo on an Air Egypt flight.
Yeah.
And we were a little bit nervous about the flight. We thought, hopefully it's a decent plane, you know, but the quality of the airline.
Yeah.
And we're just joking, it could be livestock or anything on board here. Oh. Anyway, we boarded the plane, and the first thing we see on one of the seats is two chickens in a cage.
No way.
Yeah, we couldn't believe it. We just started laughing because we'd been joking about it.
Inside the cabin, there were two chickens in a cage.
Yeah, seat one up the front where you sit, James.
Oh, 1A. 1A.
What the hell?
Oh,
yeah. That's amazing. Must have paid the coin.
Yeah. It must have been good chickens.
Well, you would hope.
1A, Jim.
1A.
That's where Richie normally sits.
Rich.
He just sat. Yeah, he always had 1A, didn't
1A
he?
1A and often had a kip.
Did he?
All right, Bill. I liked not bad, actually, topics. Better than I thought.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I tell you what happens. What? You give me 25 mil, then I never see you again.
How many bins do you have at home, recycled bins?
Well, we've got four. We've got two of the tiny little bloody green ones that are full because they only pick them up every second week, which annoys me.
Yeah.
And then you got the bigger blue recycling and then the green topped one you put your grass clippings in.
Oh, so there are three bins in Melbourne at the minute, Jim. Okay, guess what's going to happen?
What's happening?
Coming to a curb near you.
Mm-hmm.
Another bin.
What?
There's going to be four bins,
what
Jimmy boy.
What sort of bin?
Well, let me tell you, because I follow Daniel Andrews, and he's just put this up. Coming soon, Victoria's Victoria's new recycling bins, Jim. So you have the yellow one, which is paper and plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the purple one.
Yes.
Damo pops there. And that's glass. Okay? Just glass.
How big is that one?
That's a big one.
Oh, good.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You two need it for your wine.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. The purple's glass.
So
country listeners, this has been happening there for a long time.
Yeah, is it?
Like Port Fairy and places like that.
So this is just the city.
This we're
is the
just city. Catching on.
We're catching on.
So purple is glass. Then
Ozil
the red
need
one.
A big purple one.
Yeah, she needs
two.
Soak. The red one is household waste.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a green one. Organic.
Oh, Bill. My God. Is that the joke, Mins?
No.
We've gone all that way to just get that line there.
See how many are at my house.
Yeah,
but
no, exactly.
It's tiny one.
Oh, you've never actually found one.
Organics, Jim.
Empty.
Yes.
So what's organics?
That's your green stuff.
Grass clippings and things.
Or when you go and you peel your veggies in the kitchen and your leftover scraps.
You
peel my veggies,
No, do you put the scraps
in the
organic? I
do. I've got a little...
Right, so
Bakashi bin or whatever you call
that's good.
Yeah, I'm responsible.
I don't do that.
Course, you take the lids off the wine bottles, you too?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
You have to put them in the red bin.
Yes, Jim.
And the glass one in the yellow or purple.
So
one.
You're going to have four bins in Melbourne now. So you've got the yellow, the purple, the red, and the green.
I haven't got room.
No.
It's like the Wiggles, isn't it?
It is.
Bouncing around.
I need another bigger green one. Badly.
Organic.
Six people, Bill. Yeah, you're meant to fit enough stuff out of your bin. For 14-day pickup, it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know, Jim. I'm on my own, so I don't
throw
them out.
You don't use any.
Oh, no.
Hang on. What did you say to me today? You don't even know where your bins are.
Well, in my new house, I've never seen him. I just take him out to the actual bin out the front. I don't know.
What, someone else's bin?
No, well, it's the council bin. It's on the road there, Jim.
You just use like someone else's bin.
Well, I haven't got a lot of rubbish, to be honest, Jim. I'm eating out.
A man known as Bins Brownless uses someone else's bin.
So this is good, because I like bins, and we got four now. I'm loving that, Jim.
He does.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Mowed the lawn.
You mowed.
Yep.
You know what that's called? Jim's mowing.
There we are. Perth yesterday, had a very nice lunch with my better half at Rockpool.
Lisa.
The last time I was at Rockpool was at the same venue in Perth about 10 years ago, more, 12 years ago, with the Channel 9 commentary team.
Oh, yes.
So the names were Benno, Greg, Laurie, Chappell, Taylor, Healy, Slater.
And you.
Oh, no.
How did you get in there?
So where do you reckon I was sitting?
Right down the end.
Right down the end. And that's absolutely fine. Anyway, I'm sitting there with Slats. I said, chef bloke's hanging around a bit, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'd say hello and all the rest of it. He'd done just to stick around.
Back into the kitchen.
Just, that's all you need, just to come out and say hello.
Come on, mate.
He turns to me and he said, that's Neil Perry.
Neil Perry.
He owns the whole
joint. You flog. You idiot. Who paid for lunch?
I don't know.
No, yesterday.
Who do you reckon?
Lisa.
Oh, of course.
Well,
with her cash?
I've been funding her.
She did bring some money. Chris Pundred's out.
They're mine. They are mine, Jim.
You paid for my lunch at Rockpool.
Bloody mine.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You and I have both had boys.
Yes.
How is it that when they're little, their farts smell so bad?
We should get a doctor on.
I don't reckon.
And the great saint, Joel Selwood, has retired down there at the Geelong Football Club. Grand final on the weekend. Premiership captain, of course. And our man here, who we all love, Matty Haywood, has put together a tribute to the great Joel Selwood.
Number 14, the rising star, Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood now setting himself up. He's going to do the left foot snap from about 40. It's going to be a good kick.
To be able to come to this club, call it work, and just have a smile on my face the whole time.
So Selwood settles for a goal for the Catters. He fires, and that's going to be all right. Selwood kicks the goal, and he celebrates. Enormous effort from one of the game's greats.
Number 14, the captain, Joel Selwood.
The man the others draw inspiration from.
It's coming home, back where it belongs.
Oh, there it is. Well done, Matty boy, in the booth just here. But, Jim, you can read all the numbers out. Most games as team captain, 227. Most finals, of course, 40 now. Record number of games played for Geelong, 355. Only player to play in four premierships at the Geelong Football Club, three best and fairest, six All-Australians. But I'm telling you, I met him in 2007. He walked through the doors of the Geelong Footy Club, and from that very day he walked in, you knew he was always going to be the captain of the Geelong Footy Club.
Yeah, I love him. I loved him at the same time I would have met him around there somewhere, and he's never changed. He's been the same person from the day you meet him to the champion that he is today. But some of the numbers, Bill, around what he's been able to achieve are quite simply ridiculous. Like, he finishes with a winning percentage as a player of 73.1.
73.
So he's winning three of every four games he's ever played in, which is just ridiculous. Most courageous AFLPA voted four times.
Yep.
Which is amazing. In 16 seasons, he only once played fewer than 20 games.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, when you look at what he's done, it is actually outrageous. And he missed finals just once in his career in 2015. So he has been extraordinarily durable and at an extraordinary level as a player from day one.
Which is surprising because he dropped to number 7 in the draft because he did his knee the year before. So no one wanted to pick him. Yep. Stephen Wells couldn't wait to yell out Joel Selwood. So they got him at seven. But what else he did, and there's all that, and we know what a great player he was, but off the field, and we all know that he won the Jim Steins medal, of course. But he just gave everything, and I mean everything for that club, for the Geelong Cats, and he gave everything for the city of Geelong. He squeezed the lemon. There's no juice left in that lemon. He just was, and he always thought of others, Jim, before himself, which is just unbelievable. Now let's hope he can have a bit of a time to himself, a bit of time with Britt too, his lovely wife, and they're going to have a baby together and things like that. And he just relax a bit, let's hope.
Well, Fat, you say he squeezed a lemon, and I agree with that, but he was still going beautifully at the end. Yeah. So no one would have thought Joel Selwood's crawling to the line.
No.
His final series, even though he's on less minutes, his final series was still amazing. The impact he had on the prelim, I thought, when he came on, and then in the grand final, he was superb in both of those games. So, yes, you know, I think he's made a good decision from a playing point of view because he's going out on top. He's going out a premiership captain, but he still played great footy right to the end.
And what is unbelievable, and you're spot on, his last 6 weeks especially have been great, and he was trained to the minute. It's actually, Chris Scott should go into horse training, a bit like Bart Cummings for the Melbourne Cup, just trained to the minute, and with him and Dangerfield and all that. But he got a premiership in his first year in 2007, Jim, and a premiership in his last year, of course, just what, Saturday. I don't know if that's ever happened before, where someone plays a premiership in his first year in his last year. Also, what do they do now, the Cats? Do they name a stand after him? What I did like, and I was going to use it myself, but I can't, Dwayne-O, he suggested that the road between, as you drive into GMHBA Stadium there, past the netball courts and all that, that should be named Selwood Way. And I don't mind that. Something like that, because they don't like to name the grandstands down there now after just one individual player. Do they have a statue for him? And it'd be interesting to see what he does, where he goes from here, because, you know, it'd have to be in football somewhere. Does he have a break? And then surely he couldn't leave the Geelong Footy Club.
Well, if you're going to work in footy, you've got to go where the work is, I guess. But, Bill, he won't want any of that. He's a very humble man, Joel Selwood. He'll be happy with the playing career he had, but more than that, the friends he's made out of the game and the respect that he's carried not only at Geelong but around the full competition. If you asked any of the 900 AFL footballers about Joel Selwood, the words that would come straight out is the respect they have for the person he is and the footballer he was. So that you can't ask for any more than that.
Spot on. And a lot of those players would, well, not a lot, sorry, there'd be a few that say they don't like him, you know, but they respect him. And that's what it's all about, Jimmy boy. So I'll tell you what he could do, Jim. He could open up his own hardware store and he could sell wood.
Oh. How do you finish it with that?
That's an amazing 8.8. That's 8.8 ratings there. That's how you get it. But well done to you, Jolly boy. Well done to his parents, to his brothers, to the whole family. Yep. One of the great families you'll ever meet, and certainly mum and dad. And we all love you, Joel.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Tom Brady, you'd know plenty about him, Bill.
Yes, I know his mum, Marsha, and his sister, Jan.
Can you believe it?
They're a good bunch.
Gone with the Brady bunch.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
Time to do Friday Brag Artist Fat.
Just tell us the amazing thing you've done this week.
Well, I've just quit my job. I loaded the family in the car and drove all the way to Adelaide for Frozen the Musical.
How is Frozen? Is it good or not?
Oh, horrendous.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's the Friday Brag Artist.
Here we go with Brag Artist on a Friday, and usually it's me.
Yes.
No, it won't surprise any of our listeners. What? It's normally me with the helmet on with the little side pieces and the GC scoop walking out to face the West Indies because Fat wouldn't do it.
No.
But today...
Yes. I wish I put a helmet on because I'm Rick McCosker, Jim.
Oh. No.
And I'm walking out onto the ground.
Bob Willis, centenary test.
Coming in, and I went to hook him and bang. Oh, but anyway,
right.
Cuts the effort to bat in the second innings. You've got no idea, Rabs, what I'm talking about, but well done to Rick McCosker.
1977 centenary test.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
Kerry O'Keefe, our man Skull, opened the batting second innings.
He did too.
Did you know that? He opened the batting.
He did too. Mm. I didn't know that.
Good man, Kerry O'Kane.
Got home last night. A touch tired, Jim. I stayed in town.
Why were you tired?
Physically and mentally.
Right.
It'd been a long day yesterday. Yeah, I don't know if you were aware. Yeah. Yes. I got home and just got myself a little pizza and had a little beer.
I don't reckon.
And then, Jim.
It would have been a large.
Pepperoni and chili honey was actually all right. And I put together not one, but two bedside tables from Freedom. Two bedside tables.
That is good.
From Freedom, Jim. I did it.
Flat pack.
Yes. And well, it was flat pack, and then I had to put them all together and make sure
Allen
the drawer.
Allen key.
Oh, that's very important. Allen key.
The Allen key.
Yes, very important, Jim. So I did that. I was, well done, Bill. Very happy with myself.
Oh, no, I like that. No, that's decent because they're not easy to do, and I've got a brag artist myself.
Oh, what's yours, bragger?
Nephew was the AFLPA Player of the Year, and that's all to do with me.
You're so unbelievable.
Bill, well, there's no way his father's had anything to do with any of that.
Funny you should mention this. I just got an article here, Jim.
Go on.
ABC Online article.
What did it say?
Sporty jeans.
Yes.
And Ian and Joan Brayshaw are very proud.
Stixie legend, of course.
Yeah, Stixie, of course. Very proud of their grandsons, Andy and Angus Brayshaw.
And proud of their sons as well.
So it says, sporty jeans. The Brayshaw family tree is full of sporting superstars.
Yes.
Ian played cricket for Western Australia and footy for Claremont.
Premiership player for Claremont, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Like his son.
His son, Mark, played for the Kangaroos. And his other son, James, was a cricketer. That's what?
Only a cricketer.
That's what it says, Jim.
But it'd be mentioning the premiership for Claremont as well.
His son, Mark, played for the Kangaroos. And his other son, James, was a cricketer. That's
piss
all it
off.
Says. Sixy. Good work.
Nah, I like that.
Sucked in.
133-53, ring us now. Brag artist next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's a good topic, this good,
thank bad. You, Jim.
Someone else must have thought of it.
Yeah, no, I think you told me.
It is Friday Brag Artist time, boys.
Come on, Fat. Let's get some of our family members bragging about what they've done during the week.
Well, let's go to Paul in Pasco Vale. Paul, what's your brag artist?
King of Geelong and a cricketer.
Yes.
I have been a Melbourne Storm member, one of the record-breaking 40,000 members. I've been there since the beginning, 25 years.
Wow.
And tonight, when I get to the game, I will have been to every Melbourne Storm home game this year, including the one in Brisbane.
Wow. You're so unbelievable. So, Jim, 25 years, only been going 25 years, I reckon.
That's it.
A sad night tonight, Paulie, with the boys leaving.
Well, yes, their last home game as such, but we'll see them in the final, so not quite as sad as it could be.
Oh, I see.
Righto
then, Paulie.
Righto.
Stay on the line there then. Greg joins us, Fat.
From Lemnos. Hello, Greg.
Good afternoon, lads. How are we?
Going well. How's Greg? Lemnos?
Lemnos is beautiful at the moment. Sun's shining. Apples are growing. It's lovely.
Near Shepparton it is. Some good footballers out of Lemnos. What do you got, mate?
I probably saved a guy about an $8,000-$10,000 bill today.
Yeah.
I pulled up at a service station to fuel up the truck that I drive and noticed a guy just taking unleaded fuel out of a diesel car he'd just filled up.
No.
I said, mate, do not start that car. It's going to cost you big time if that fuel goes through.
Well done.
Good. A lot of people do it, Greggy.
Yeah, my father-in-law actually did it probably about 2 or 3 months ago in a Land Cruiser. It cost him $15,000.
So done it, you don't start the car because then the petrol will go through all the lines and pistons and shackle pins and stuff.
Shackle pins.
Yes, that's right, the shackle pins, yes.
Yeah, right. Well, stay there, Greg. Well done, by the way. Save that man driving off. Bo's from you from One Thaggy, mate.
Hey, Ollie, gentlemen.
Hey, Bobo.
Good, Bobo.
Now, if you remember on Tuesday, it was absolutely hosing down.
Yes.
I got sent home early from work, and down by the shore at Elwood, a little old laid out a flat tyre. So I thought I'd pulled over, jumped out, and got that sorted for it.
Oh.
Well done. You're so unbelievable.
How come it's always a little old lady? Suppose they can't fix it.
Well, say if it was a normal sort of 28-year-old man, he'd get there and do it himself, Bill.
Yeah, good on you, Bo.
That'd probably be what it is, but well done, Bo.
Yeah, in the rain, Jim.
Yeah, no, well done. That's quality. Yeah. Greg's there, Bill.
He's from Corowa, Jim. Hello, Greg.
How are you guys?
Good, Greg. What have you done?
I won the second annual Bald Ale Brisket Smoke-Off.
You're unbelievable. brisket smoke-off?
What is the Baldale brisket smoke-off?
Well, generally, it's just an excuse to have a heap of frothies, yeah. But we get handed about a 7 kilo brisket at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we got to present it to the judges at 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, 12 hours.
12 hours, slow cooked. Rested.
What is brisket, by the way? I know it's meat, but what sort of, what's the cut?
It's a combination of the shoulder and the flap that goes over the rib cage. So you've got two totally different styles of meat that you got to cook at once.
Are we talking beef, lamb? What are we talking about here?
Beef, mate.
Beef, Jim.
How many competitors?
Yeah, how many are in it?
Oh, it's a select few. We'll just say that.
Oh, there's says one.
It's no. Invitation only. And it's just a select, possibly.
Oh. So it's a shoulder and the flap, Jim.
They're very far from rare.
Very, very heated competition. Trust me, there was a lot of scallywagging and carrying on going on.
Oh.
That's it.
But when you win by one point, it's sweeter than Collingwood winning by 1 point.
Oh.
Nah. There we are, Bill.
Mm. Good one. Right. We've got Steve here. G'day, right. Steve.
Yeah, mate. Hello.
What's your brag at us, mate?
I threw a cricket ball the entire length of Fryer Reserve in Newtown back in the 1980s.
How far is that?
Well, I'm not really sure, but if it's 60 metres to the middle, it's got to be at least 120 metres.
That's a long way.
That's a long way. Yeah. Yep.
Billy?
So you threw the whole... Is that where Newtown play footy in the GFL?
Guild St Mary's Cricket Club.
Oh, down there near where I used to live down there. Nice little Cricket Club. All the big boys play there.
That's the one.
What big boys, Bill?
Well, they're look
larger
like,
build.
Yeah, look like me, Jim. Yeah, I could get a game there. That's a long... I love that because I've got mates that can throw the ball. They were no good at cricket, but, gee, they could throw a long way. So good on you, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, Fat says, JB. We finished talking before, and he says, I've got to drop the kids off at the pool, and just walked out. Oh, we haven't seen him since. Well, Matty, he has got that much by way of idiot file stuff that he thought he'd send you off with a bang to Fiji.
A bang.
With a song.
A Fiji.
And, well, I don't think songs get any more famous.
I want to hear Billy say this phrase that I'm passing to you now quickly 3 times. It's unique New York, please. It will be gold. Go ahead.
Unique New York, unique New York, New York, New York.
Try again.
Unique New York, unique New York, unique New York. There you go.
Start spreading the news.
Good to see you, Jim.
I'm leaving today.
Segway.
I want to be part of it.
Good segue, Jim.
New York, New York.
So we go down Redmond, 4th, Ridley, Levere, Kelly, 7th, Nick Martin, 8th.
Kelly.
But
right through the very heart of it.
Andrew McGrath.
New York.
Ohio.
I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep.
But he's contracted, Bill.
I know, for another year. Yeah. But I want another apology out of you.
Another apology.
Apology. Jim?
What, apology or another
for the
apology?
Cat?
I'll make a brand new start of it.
Big day today.
New York.
You know what it is? It's billing Bill. Even bullying Bill. Poor old Fat.
I'll make it.
Knickerbockers? What do they call it? Knickerbockers.
Anywhere it's up to you. New York. New York.
Interviewing the Norm Smith medalist after your club's won a premiership.
Yeah.
So you'd think you'd know his name.
You reckon.
You'd reckon you'd be able to say
well
his
done,
name.
Well done, Norm. Great work. And you're a four-time premiership player. Great work. Isaac.
I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps.
What about the Warriors? You play them. They start the season, Jim, this Sunday. Of course, at John Cain Arena. Tip-off is at...
The Breakers, not the Warriors.
Actually, the Warriors would be the rugby league team. That's right.
A number one.
What are they called? The Breakers going
to
be...
It's up to you, New York.
Look back at our show from the Cremorne Hotel. Even the Cremorne Hotel in G-Town.
It's his own pub. Oh, Bill, you need a reset.
Kenny Rogers there with New York.
Kenny Rogers.
You need a reset, don't you?
I do. Well, but I've done it tough. I was supposed to have a week off after the grand final.
It's your choice to not have that week off.
Well, I thought I'd hang around because the Cats won, Jim. So I've just pushed the envelope a bit much and my brain doesn't work. So a bit of snorkeling and a bit of sunbaking and a bit of golf and fat will be back bigger and fatter than ever.
I hope so.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. Oh, he's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. We've gone through a whole year's worth of Billy's jokes to pick out the best ones.
A good joke on this show would be good.
Sadly, we couldn't find any, so this will have to do.
That is appalling.
No, it's not.
On the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Billy's joke.
Billy!
Billy, won't you tell a joke now? Cause you're not funny, man. At least not on purpose. Oh!
Well, they can turn over now before the joke, or they can listen to the joke. I'll give you 3 seconds. One, a cat dog, a two, a cat dog, a three, a cat dog. Here we go.
He's telling our audience to turn our station off. That's a broadcasting first.
Go over to Fox. Here we go. No, here's a joke. A woman, Jim, was completely fed up with her life. So one day she sat down and said, I want a change. So she went through the ads and found a job as a gangster's mole. A gangster's mole. The day arrives for the interview and she turns up dressed in the appropriate manner. The gangster, big gangster, welcomes her through the door. And says to her, I've got three questions only. Question one, have you ever stabbed anyone? The woman lifts up her skirt, showing the garter, and on her right leg, Jim, tucked in there was a knife. She points to the knife and says, see that knife? That has killed 5 people. Wow, says the gangster. 5, Jim, with a knife. Very impressed. Question two, have you ever shot anyone? She lifts up the skirt again, Jim, on the other side. Tucked in under the garter was a pistol. See that pistol? Well, that pistol has shot 8 people. Wow, really impressed the gangster now, Jim. Mm. One last question, says the gangster. And it's about your criminal record. Have you ever been picked up by the fuzz? The woman thinks for a minute and replies, no, but I've been swung around by my boobs a couple of times. It's a while ago, this joke. It's not the late joke. It's a few years ago.
Oh, no. Jim. I'm here at Marvel. I'm looking at Jace, who's been in this industry as long as I have. He cannot believe what you've just said.
Have you ever been picked up by the fuzz, Jim?
No, I got the punchline there, yeah. Yeah.
Bradley loves it, Jim.
Yeah, that's because he's the same level of imbecile as you are.
Your thought?
Your thought.
Your thought. Ever been picked up by the phone? No?
Thank you, Bill. Take that into your Friday night.
Oh, wowee. Don't tell that at dinner. Bill, you are still king of Geelong.
I can tell you how bad it was. Even Keeper Gow was offended.
Oh, Keith, he would have loved it.
This has been the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Billy are back live in 2023. In the meantime, you can hear the boys anywhere, anytime by downloading the Listener app. LISTNR. I feel good.